1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your eternal light and your eternal life. We thank you for the manifestation of that life in the Christ who was with you and who showed himself to the apostles. Father, we praise you that you granted him to have life in himself, and that in him that life has come near, has touched us, has become ours. Open our eyes to the glory of this truth. Shake us out of the humdrum and quotidian, that we might see the glory of Christ, the eternal life who is with you and manifested to us. Let us have fellowship with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, for he is the true God and eternal life. Amen. Most Christians, I fancy, know that the Trinity is an important doctrine. But most Christians also don't know why the Trinity is an important doctrine. If you were to go around and ask, why does it matter that these three are one? You would hear various answers, but perhaps few of them would be correct. Our passage this evening tells us why it's important. John is majoring on the progression that he so often talks about, the progression from the Father, who is the source and fountain of everything, to the Son, who is the recipient of all that the Father is, that he has the Father's being, he is the perfect image of the Father, the perfect Son of the Father, the perfect Word of the Father, and that from the Son, all that God is, was delivered to the apostles, and through them, to us. That's why I've titled the chapter, The Propagation of Divine Life. Smarter people than me have said that life is shared in the same way that one candle lights another. And that, I think, might be a good way to help us think about this. That the life of the Father is not diminished in any way by being given to the Son. The Father's life now becomes the Son's life in its entirety. And the Son's life, John is at pains to tell us in this prologue, has become our life. The eternal life that was with the Father came to earth in a tangible, visible form. And those who saw and touched it now announce that truth to you and me. That's the message, the first 2 and 3 verses of 1 John. We'll start in verse 2. The phrase right in the middle of the verse, that eternal life which was with the Father. Why does John start there? That which was from the beginning, echoing his own gospel, and then, of course, echoing the book of Genesis before that, he takes us back to the beginning. But this beginning, as we said last week, was not the beginning of beginnings, the time in eternity past when the Father and the Son were together with the Spirit, when nothing else existed. Rather, John tells us that what was from the beginning, he heard, he saw, he looked at, and he touched. What was from the beginning is from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. From the beginning of when I started to see it, look at it, hear it, touch it. That is what John is telling us. And what did he see, look at, hear, and touch? He saw eternal life. Why does he call Christ eternal life? He mentions him at the end of verse 3 as the Son, Jesus Christ. But in this prologue, I think 3 times, he describes Christ not as Christ or Son or even as the Word, like in his Gospel, but instead as the life. What does that description do? What does that title tell us? Well, it gets us to think about our Savior in a different way, I would say in a more intimate way. Imagine if John had started by talking about Christ. It's easy to see what it would sound like. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of Christ, the Christ was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal Christ which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. And what's the difference when we substitute the title of Christ, the Anointed One, in for the word life in these verses of the prologue? Why does it sound different to say what our hands have handled concerning the word of Christ than to say what our hands have handled concerning the word of life? It seems to me that the biggest difference in talking about Christ as life is that it eliminates the gap between him and us. As much as we love Jesus, as much as we talk about him, as much as we sing to him, we are aware that he is a different person. And that however well we know him, he's still someone else. But when John speaks of him as life, we don't think of life as something different or something outside of us. We're used to thinking of life as something that we have. I'm alive. I live. Life is a possession of mine. Life is something I've been doing now for almost 30 years. So when John talks about Jesus as life, he's reducing that distance between you and your Savior. We know, of course, that Christ is the one who is closer to us than we are to ourselves. That he's the one who knows you better than you know yourself. Paul says explicitly, Christ is our life. The life that I live, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul uses these expressions, but it's John who specifically or simply calls Jesus eternal life. And thereby helps us realize that we do possess Christ and we possess Him as our life. We have Christ in the same way that we have life. In fact, He is our life. But what does that mean? What is life? Well, John tells us right away, the life was with the Father. Telling us something about life. Life is not aloneness. Life is community, and specifically life is being with the Father. It's impossible to imagine this eternal life that John saw, touched, looked at, listened to. It's impossible to imagine this life as being alone. The eternal life was with the Father, and we could add, the eternal life was with the Father eternally. And if He had not been with the Father, He would not have been at all. Because to have life is to be in fellowship with the Father. Jesus said in John 16, "Behold, the hour is coming, and now is, when you will be scattered each to his own home and leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." And in his hour of abandonment, Christ says, "You're leaving, the Father is with me." John tells us here, as eternal life, Christ was with the Father. Life, in other words, is something to be shared. God has invited us to share this life. That's why John starts, talks about life three times in a row, and then he says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." Why are you telling me about this, John? And he doesn't say, "We declare it to you so that you may have life." That's what he's saying. But he puts it in terms of fellowship. "I'm telling you about the life that was with the Father so that you can have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The reason I'm telling you about the life that was with the Father is so that you can share life with the one who shares life with the Father." Do you see that? Life, fellowship, interchangeable. Just like in Proverbs we see wisdom and righteousness as interchangeable. Two different ways of looking at the same reality. And in fact, in the Gospel of John chapter 17, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." What is life? Life is knowing the Father and sharing His Son with Him. We're going to talk a lot about fellowship in the next couple of weeks. I'll just say quickly that fellowship is a relationship built on having a fellow. Right? You hear that in the word, a fellow. What does that mean? Well, somebody who's like you in a particular respect. And thus, I can say, "My fellow pastors." And you would say, "Yeah, that makes sense. He's a pastor, he has fellow pastors, other people who are also pastors." But if I say something like, "My fellow nuclear physicist," you say, "He's not a nuclear physicist. He doesn't have fellow nuclear physicists." Well, fellowship is a relationship built on having a fellow, built on having something in common with somebody else. So many of you have in common with others, right, that you work for a government entity, or that you own a particular make of car, or something like that. My fellow Chevy owners. So depending on what you have in common, that indicates the degree of the fellowship. If all you have in common is that you're both from the Western Hemisphere, that may not be much. But if you find someone who can match you in 15 ways, born in the same hospital, drives the same make and model of car, works at the same job, and on and on it goes, right? The potential for a close relationship is very, very strong. Well, God says, John says, you have fellowship. You have a relationship with the Father that's built on having something in common. And of course, we'll see that that thing we have in common with the Father is the Son. And the thing we have in common with the Son is the Father. You and Jesus Christ share the same Father. You and the Father share a love for Jesus Christ. That's how you can know this eternal life. That's how you can live this eternal life, is by having God as a fellow admirer and lover of Jesus, or having Christ as your fellow, a fellow child of God, your Heavenly Father. John says, when you have this relationship, when Christ is your fellow, or when the Father is your fellow, you have fellowship with the Father, with His Son, and therefore with other saints as well. And that is the result of having eternal life. Life was with the Father. But life did not just stay with the Father. That life was manifested, verse 2 tells us. Now, this word manifested is a word that was used in the classical times to talk about the appearance of a god. A manifestation is the appearance of something that ordinarily would have been invisible. It means to show or reveal. The life was revealed. The life was shown. Something you ordinarily couldn't see, life, became visible in Jesus of Nazareth. That's John's message. I saw life. I listened to it. I looked at it. I touched it. And now, I'm telling you about it. We need to not skip over this. The life was manifested. We have seen life. We declare to you life. Now, we've all seen living things. But normally we think of life as a property, as something that an organism does or has, rather than as something in itself. But John doesn't say, I saw living. We would say, big deal. I see living too. Many, many things around me are living. I see living creatures all the time. John doesn't say, I saw living. He says, I saw life. Now, what's the difference between living and life? Well, living is something you do, but life would have to be something you are. Living is an adjective. Life is a noun. And so this is the same John who tells us God is love. Not God is loving, but God is love. Not God is living, but God is life. Not God is lit, but God is light. God is His own being, as the philosophers put it. God is totally and completely these things, such that we can't say that He is living, or that He is illuminated, or that He is loving. Those are not activities or properties that are somehow separate from God's being. Those are what God is. God is life. Now, if we talk that way, people quickly regard us as a fruitcake or as somewhat misguided, at the very least, right? I'm love. What? I'm life. Well, maybe you're alive, but you're not life. You're not love. You might have some love. You might have some life. But Jesus doesn't have some life. He doesn't have some light. He doesn't have some love. He is light. He is life. He is love. And John saw that. John didn't just see something living, something alive. He saw somebody who was life. So why is the Trinity important? Because John could never have seen life if the doctrine of the Trinity were not true. The Father has life in himself. The Father is life. The Father has given that life to the Son. The Father has given to the Son to have life in himself. And if the Father and the Son are not united, they could not both be life. The Son would simply be living, not life. He would be like us, have a derived life. But the Son doesn't have a derived life. John does not say, I saw the Son living. He says, I saw that the Son is eternal life. The Son's life and the Father's life are one and the same. The Son is life. And that life was manifested. I saw it. And now I'm telling you about it. To see Jesus was to see life. And we say, John, what was that like? What did you see when you saw life? John tells us, well, I heard him. I touched him. I looked at him. I saw him. I was with him from the beginning. And he doesn't tell us dumb little details. Jesus had three white hairs and his beard over on the right side. He doesn't major on the minors. He majors on the majors, which is what? I saw Jesus, and Jesus is life. I didn't just see him for a few minutes either. I didn't see him walk by on the road and say, wait, that guy is life. No, I was with him from the beginning. John 8:25, the Pharisees said to Jesus, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Now, Jesus hadn't been talking to the Pharisees from the beginning of creation, the beginning of Genesis 1:1. He hadn't been talking to them from the beginning of when he was with the Father, the beginning of John 1:1. He had been talking to them from the beginning of his ministry. And that's the beginning from which John saw, looked at, touched, and handled, and listened to the Word of Life. Every commentator commented that this prologue has such an odd style. Well, most of the commentators. What book will you ever read, especially a nonfiction book, that starts with a that which, and then goes on to describe this that which for two longish sentences, two longish sentence lengths, before getting around to the main verb, which is in verse 3, we declare to you. But folks, John has to use a tangled style because he's announcing something mind-boggling. If he put this in a conversational way, hey, I saw some eternal life, we couldn't believe it. The claim is so shocking that the form of the claim has to be equally odd to match the oddness of the claim. Otherwise, the form and the content are mismatched and hard to believe. But the form and the content here work with each other. John starts to describe it before you even know what he's talking about. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have handled, and we're saying, what, John? What are you talking about? I read a book review this afternoon that repeatedly referred to the author of this book as a famous intellectual and assumed that you knew who he was, when he lived, what he wrote about. I had never heard of this fellow. And it was one of those where I just want the author to stop and tell me who he's talking about. And that's what John is trying to get us to do here. Wait, who is this? What did you see? What did you hear? What are you talking about, John? You're talking about the Word of Life? Oh, you're telling me about the Word of Life. You finally figure that out as you get to the end of verse 3. The life came. The eyewitnesses saw it. And then John uses two words to describe what they do. We declare to you, and we bear witness to you. The life was manifested, we have seen, bear witness, and declare. To bear witness is to testify under oath. It's a verb relating to the law courtroom. Yes, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This is what I looked at and touched. John is bearing witness. He's declaring to us. He's saying, I saw that Jesus is eternal life and that he is eternal life for you. He is as close to you as your own life is. If you receive him, if you believe on his name. So yes, Jesus is a different person from you, but you should not think of him as separate from you. He is as close to you as your own life is. He is your life. So do you want to live with the Father? Do you want that life with the Father that John calls fellowship, that he calls eternal life? If so, then the prologue is telling you, listen to this book. This book will tell you how to live with the Father. How to have fellowship with him and therefore with his Son and therefore with his people. John saw life. He's writing to you about life. He's telling you about it in order that you can be his fellow Christian, his fellow child of God, his fellow worshiper of Jesus Christ. So seek to know the Father. Prepare to live with him. Recognize that Christ is your life. And rejoice in the life you've received from the Father through the Son. That's why the Trinity is important to you and me. Not just because it's true, but because without it there is no life for us. If the Son does not have life in himself, then he can't give that life to you and me. Because you can't give what you don't have. But if Christ does have the Father's life, then he can give it to us. We will live eternally with him and his Father. He is the true God and eternal life. So believe him. Worship the Father, the Son, and the Spirit by listening to the apostles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are not just alive, but that you are life. That you are not just lit up, but light. That you are not just loving, but love. We thank you that you are totally and completely everything that you are. These things are not parts or pieces or properties of you, but that they are you, or better, that you are them. Father, thank you that you are light and in you is no darkness at all. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with you and your Son because you gave him life. And he passes that life on to us as the apostles have announced to us. Father, teach us to live the life that is with you, which is the only life worthy of the name. We ask these things in the name of your Son, the living one, who died, rose again, and behold, he is alive forevermore, and has the keys of death and Hades. We pray that he would come quickly, that we might continue to share eternal life with you and with him. Teach us to want to live, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.